Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Organizationally, just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring.
Well, they got that opportunity reportedly. It actually happened late last week. It was just reported yesterday, multiple outlets reporting that David Culley had a conversation with Deshaun Watson. And Seth, you asked me this question earlier this week. Do I think that the Texans actually think that David Culley will be the linchpin to getting Deshaun Watson turned around with this franchise? And I answered emphatically, yes, I actually think that that is the case. I think some proof of that on the reports of those conversations that they sent in David Culley to do the dirty work and try to get Deshaun Watson back in the fold. Seth, Deshaun Watson, still not in the fold. David Culley did not get the job. He did not get the job done. He did not close the deal. At least not
yet. The guy that's been there for like 3 days.
Yes.
And has no relationship with. Well, he has a little bit of a relationship with. Based on the Pro Bowl, where barely they call it a Pro Bowl practice. It's a Pro Bowl walkthrough and photo opportunity. Where somehow I guess they were thinking maybe that David Culley formed such a relationship, such a tight bond with Deshaun Watson that this would be the key.
Yeah, can we stop making the Pro Bowl from 2 years ago sound like they went on a couples cruise or something like that? That the Culleys and Deshaun and his girlfriend went on like an excursion together and they spent a ton of time. David Culley going in to do this job is like sending the HR manager to close a big sale. And no disrespect to HR managers out there. HR managers are very capable people. But this is a big sale that the Texans need to close here if they want to have Deshaun Watson playing for them in 2021. They need to get him back on track and convince him, as Nick Caserio just said in that cut from the day they introduced David Culley back on January 29th. It's been damn near a month now that he's been the head coach. And he said, we've got a great vision, and we can't wait to sit down with Deshaun Watson. You got that opportunity, and Seth, reportedly, Deshaun Watson, and here are the tweets. It started with Dan Graziano of ESPN saying, per sources, Texans QB Deshaun Watson met with head coach David Culley last Friday, so a week ago today. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley that he has no intention of playing for the Texans again, no change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Tom Pelissero went on to clarify that it was actually a telephone conversation, not an in-person sit-down. Either way, they were unsuccessful. Deshaun Watson remains dug in and does not want to be a Houston Texan reportedly anymore.
I wonder if Culley, you know, Culley and Easterby both, because they're people. You know, there's nothing better than a people person to run your organization.
Right.
Both of them are telling other people, boy, you know, I'm much better in person. I need to be in person.
Yeah.
This Zoom world is what's holding us back right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Culley's doing it. I don't want to put that on Culley. I feel like Easterby would be doing that. I think this, in a lot of ways, this turned some people. I think, at least on social media, it looked like people started to turn a little bit when they see that Deshaun Watson just flat out said, I don't want to be here, which is curious to me because
just to be clear, when you say turn, you mean turning on Deshaun?
Turning on Deshaun, gotcha. Right. Yeah, yeah. Look, it seemed like some people were starting to get more vocally critical of Deshaun. I don't know. Maybe just the people that are critical of Deshaun got vocal about it. Or maybe it's because if somebody turned on Deshaun or flipped because of that, maybe it's because it feels like this isn't David Culley's fault. It almost feels like an aggressive action by Deshaun Watson towards David Culley, even though it isn't. It's just Deshaun explaining to one more poor person in the organization exactly what he feels about it. And this is a lot more about ownership, Jack Easterby, the roster, who knows, all this other stuff. All this other stuff.
Yeah, I look, here's where I am on this, Seth, is that I think it is possible for both sides to not be handling this the best possible way. Like, I don't think it's just as cut and dry as, well, I'm not wild about what the Texans are doing, so therefore I think everything Deshaun Watson is doing is the exact right way to handle it. I do think Deshaun probably needs to handle this a little bit more directly. I think a lot comes with signing a big contract like that, and I get it that he's not all that wild about the organization and some of the decisions they've made. They continue to make decisions, even up to reports yesterday, that they don't intend to franchise Will Fuller, which we'll get into. For an organization that says, we can't wait to explain our vision to Deshaun Watson, they sure seem to do a lot of things that would run contrary to what Deshaun's vision of a good and functional organization are. But I'm not wild with how Deshaun's handling it. If I'm going to pick a side, though, I'm going to pick the side that's good at their job. And Deshaun Watson is really, really excellent in his job right now. So if I'm going to pick a side, I'm still on Deshaun's side in this thing. But it's a mess. It's not getting any less messy. And sending in David Culley to do this, man, like, okay, I get it. He's the head coach that Deshaun's going to have to play for. If Deshaun is going to get back in the fold, the two are going to need to sit down and get on the same page. You're not at a get-on-the-same-page stage. You are at a massive, massive DEFCON 1 repair job at this point. And we know the people that Deshaun Watson has the issues with. It's ownership and it's upper management. It's not David Culley. Like, I don't know what they were expecting by sending Dave. Well, I do know what they were expecting. They thought that David Culley would be able to go in and convince Deshaun Watson that it's cool to be a Houston Texan. They were unsuccessful doing so. At some point, Cal McNair is going to have to talk to Deshaun Watson. Some of this may be on Deshaun. To be fair to Cal, he may be trying to effort those conversations, and Deshaun and David Mulligetta are just cutting it off at the pass. We don't know. I say all this to say I'm not surprised at all that a conversation with David Culley has us right back at square one again.
Right, and I don't know if I would frame it as they're putting this on David Culley. I mean, David Culley, I would imagine, is the head coach. I would hope wants to take the initiative of calling his star quarterback.
Yeah.
So ever since David Culley took over, ever since he was filled in on the situation,
yeah,
which apparently, according to David Culley, it was NBD when he was interviewing. Don't let that raise any red flags.
Do you want to revisit that real quick?
I got that cut here.
Was David Culley the day that he was hired as Texans head coach when he was asked, hey, did you know that there was a trade request that Deshaun Watson had made?
The only thing I knew about this whole situation at that point was that I was being interviewed for this job to be the head coach. And I did know at that point, Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan. He's a quarterback of the Houston Texans. And that's all that I was concerned about. And that's all I knew. And whatever was been said about what he wanted to do or he didn't want to do, all I know is this, having been in this business this long, you know, he is a Houston Texan. And I want him to be a Houston Texan. And the reason I'm in this position today is because I knew he's going to be a Houston Texan. And so that the outside stuff that was being said was irrelevant to me, because the most important thing to me is that at that time was figuring out what can I do after talking with Nick and his family to become the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, see, it's all outside stuff.
Yeah.
This state of denial that the Texans have been in where, hey, this is all chatter on the outside. Nobody really knows. Like, this is no big deal. It's all fine. That's all just chatter on the outside. These are lies. These are media mistruths. Deshaun's not actually unhappy. He's going to be the quarterback. Apparently, he's at least a little bit peeved about everything.
Yeah.
There's one other thing that's bothering me a little bit, and I'm trying to figure out. And I don't know whether it makes me nervous about the organization and maybe what's going on over there right now. This report that supposedly the Texans are not listening to any trade proposals from other teams. So other teams have resorted to just leaving voicemails with their trade proposals. This is what concerns me about that. What if other teams are calling about other stuff, like a non-Deshaun Watson trade proposal? What if What if they got other stuff they got to talk about? Right. Are the Texans just not answering? Are they just like bunkered down listening to the, I feel like they've got an old school answering machine and they're just screening it, waiting to hear. Like, wait a second. Is this a beep? Wait. Oh, he's not calling about Deshaun. Pick it up.
What are the odds, Seth? What are the odds that the mailbox is full? The person at this extension cannot be reached because the mailbox is full.
It just goes straight to, or the receptionist has been instructed just to dump every call.
Oh my God.
Just go straight to.
That was an
actual.
You've
been on hold for 7 minutes, and then all of a sudden you.
That was a report. Teams are leaving voicemail messages now about Deshaun Watson trades. That's where we are. They're leaving voice. Okay, here, Seth. They may stumble into the greatest deal of all time by finding the GM who's the equivalent of like Mikey from Swingers. Remember that scene in Swingers where Jon Favreau gets a little overly thirsty for the girl he met at the bar and leaves like 8 voicemail messages the second he got home? They're going to find that
Nick, I just look at I see
you're not calling me back. How about another first round pick? Oh man, so we are off and running on a Friday. It is a football Friday. There's a lot of football that we're getting into here with the Texans. If you're trying to keep Deshaun Watson, the Texans, another head-scratching report out of the Houston Texans camp yesterday. We'll tell you exactly what that is next. Here was Deshaun Watson in his postseason press conference back on January 4th talking about Will Fuller.
You know, hopefully we can get him back. I'm definitely going to be on that, you know, with the organization and with him. I actually saw him before I came in today, and, you know, we sat and talked in the parking lot a little bit. So, you know, we all on the same page and what we want to do, and hopefully we can get him back with Cobb and, you know, Brandon here and, you know, get some other guys, some other pieces that can that help us out, and we can really take another step, especially offensively.
That is a really poignant piece of audio, Seth. One, because the Texans reportedly are not going to use the franchise tag on Will Fuller. We'll get into that in just a second. But that audio was on January 4th. The next day, Nick Caserio was hired as the Texans general manager, and 3 days after that, he was introduced as a general manager. And in between those 2 days was when Deshaun tweeted, "Some things never change," or whatever it was, his first cryptic rap lyric. On January 4th, Deshaun Watson is having conversations in the parking lot about next season and things we can do next season. It's very clear from that audio that the worm turned on that Tuesday. Like, Deshaun may have had some deep-seated feelings about the direction the organization was going in, but as of that quote, if we take it at face value, Deshaun was still ready to be a Houston Texan on January 4th.
Right.
You
know?
Yeah.
And that's where so much of it gets so complicated. And I do think I hate just saying that it's, you know, Deshaun hates Easterby or something, because we have zero clue. We haven't it's not that. And I don't think the way it's been explained to me, it's not as simple as just, hey, if you fired Jack Easterby, and even if you hired the exact coach that Deshaun Watson wanted, that wouldn't necessarily change things. Which leads me to believe, though, okay, if all that stuff happened, then there's a chance that Deshaun just doesn't trust that Cal McNair is going to consistently do the right thing.
That's right.
Or it could also just mean that he believes this roster is so decrepit at this point that he doesn't believe there's a way out necessarily.
Yep.
With the cap situation and with everything else.
We're both.
This is all, it's all damn conjecture at this point. We don't have a damn clue.
It is. The reports yesterday about Will Fuller from Aaron Wilson, he was the first to report this, that the Texans, apparently they're going to let Will Fuller walk. Seth, you know my stance on this. I've been a big advocate for the Texans using the franchise tag on Will Fuller, with the worst case scenario being Will Fuller saying, okay, I'll gladly sign it and take my $16 million guaranteed for next year, even if Deshaun Watson's not here. That was the worst case scenario to me. I was ready to live with that worst case scenario, knowing that the best case scenario is that either you trade Will Fuller using the franchise tag and you get an immediate draft asset for him as opposed to waiting for a compensatory pick in 2022, or best case, it's a step in getting Deshaun Watson back into the building, that he looks and says, oh, my favorite receiver's coming back. Okay, this is a good step that Will Fuller is coming back. We know Deshaun is very fond of Will Fuller. And the Texans, boy, for a team that says we want Deshaun Watson back in the building, they sure do a lot of things that would seem to be the opposite of what Deshaun Watson is asking them to do right now.
Well, Sean, here's the catch-22 of the situation.
Yeah.
If if you franchise tag Will Fuller in an effort to keep Deshaun Watson, then you're not going to have enough cap space to absorb the cap hit for when you trade Deshaun Watson. That's the you see, Sean. It's all
it's true.
It's all folding on top of itself and wrapped around a riddle and a mystery and an enigma. You can't do both things. It is. As much as people love to say, well, the cap doesn't matter and it's easy to manipulate your way out of stuff, it always comes at a price. And it is harder this year than in most years to just simply lop off some space and a couple of people and renegotiate some deals and create that space. So franchise tagging Will Fuller on a team that really needs some serious upgrades in spots, it basically feel like an all-in effort to keep Deshaun, but I'll go back to rule number one of this offseason is everything needs to revolve around Deshaun. Everything needs to revolve around getting Deshaun back. And I guess given that report yesterday, which feels very much like it was leaked by the Texans, it feels extremely likely that it was leaked by the Texans.
You're talking about the report of the conversation with Cully.
Deshaun Watson told Cully, I flat out don't want to be here. It still seems to me, given the way the Texans have talked about the situation, given the way that David Cully says the situation was explained to him, given all of these things, it just feels like the Texans aren't really taking this all that seriously as a threat. And they'll do whatever they're going to do with it. They're not going to make any decisions with Will Fuller based on the potential for Deshaun Watson to hold out. They really feel that the player will buckle. And I say the player because I think they need to understand and realize. I think there are a lot of people over there that really don't know the way they need to speak into a tape recorder and listen to themselves. Which, by the way, is actually kind of easy because everything that they've said to us has been recorded. So play back the recordings. Go to the internet. Go to sportsradio610.com and listen to the way you talk about Deshaun Watson. Boy. Listen to the way you talk about the situation. Listen to the way you talk about, like, well, when he gets back from vacation, maybe we'll chat. And ask yourself, is this the kind of stuff that over time starts to wear on somebody? Does it feel like you're actually genuinely treating him with respect?
Seth, that is great advice. The same advice we get in our job. Hey, air check yourself. Take a listen. You probably don't sound quite as good and professional as you think you do until you listen to yourself. And look, Nick, Cal, Jack, if you ever do any press conferences, it's a painful process to have to listen to your voice. But Seth, that is great advice. Listen to your tone. David Cully, you're absolutely right. We played that cut of David Cully from his introductory press conference in the open of this show. He sounded like he was bossing Deshaun back into the building. He is the quarterback, and he will be the quarterback. If I'm Deshaun, I'm like, well, slow down, short timer. You've been here 8 minutes, and you're telling me? What?
It all sounds really dismissive. And
yes.
And look,
a great adjective.
I think Deshaun is the classic guy who might have to say, hey, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. And when you're somebody whose kindness has been mistaken for weakness, sometimes that's the most dangerous person on earth because they've got an axe to grind. You feel like you've been taken advantage. If you're the guy that tries to do the right thing and tries to be good to everybody and tries to do right and be loyal and say all the right things, when all of a sudden you feel like you've been betrayed, that's when things can get really, really vicious. And that's why yesterday the Deshaun cryptic rap lyric once again, which what was the actual rap lyric?
It was the rap lyric. It was another Future lyric from a song called Never Forget. It was we've got it right here.
Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it.
That's right.
By the time I was seven, my uncle Wayne was in prison. We used to take a trip once a month and go visit. My grandma and my granddad, they all suspicious. Just say no to drugs, hell no, I ain't listen. And loyalty is everything, I'll never forget it. I keep my gun everywhere I go, I'll never forget it.
There you go.
Whoa. I can't. Deshaun was wise not to tweet the next lyric. I keep my gun everywhere. Just hold back on that.
That may win some fans here in the state of Texas back on his side a little bit.
What if he had
he's into
that?
Guns? All what right.
If, no, but what if he had added that too? That enters the.
That is the ultimate. Don't mistake my kindness for weakness. Adding lyrics about guns.
So. Look, we could interpret that a million different ways. Maybe he was talking to somebody else. Okay. Deshaun knows what he's doing at this point. Everybody, he knows that everybody's reading into all this stuff. My first interpretation of that, which is just my strict speculative interpretation, was at some point along the way, Deshaun felt like he was not treated with loyalty, or that either Cal McNair or Jack Easterby or somebody else in the organization didn't display loyalty to him.
Right.
And at that point, all bets were off.
Yeah.
Because I know I saw a lot of people responding to that tweet by Deshaun saying, oh, you're one to talk. And I think the point would be, yeah, if you show that you're not loyal, then I owe no loyalty to you.
That's right. That's right. Text message, Sean, you take the side of Deshaun because he's better at his job. Deshaun's acting like a spoiled child, crossing his arms, saying he doesn't want to play for the Texans. The Texans are trying to keep him, but the spoiled baby has his mind made up. So, Sean, you like an unreasonable, spoiled brat side just because it's precedence. It's not a professional type of precedence that is showing any type of a good role model or leader. Y'all are crazy to make up excuses for Deshaun Watson. I think I prefaced it by saying I'm not wild with how either side is handling it. But if forced to take a side, I'll side with the guy who's better at his job, Deshaun Watson. Yes, I will side with one of the five best quarterbacks in a sport that is completely quarterback-driven, as opposed to a front office that seems to be pushing all the wrong buttons. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
Like, it's I guess that the where I have empathy for Deshaun is that Deshaun, I think, over the course of 2 years, sat back and reflected on what exactly had happened and how everything had been dismantled and how the owners seemed to be doubling down on on the same people that dismantled it and wondered where the hell are we going from here? What the hell is going on? And yeah, I think I understand it. Like it's okay. It's fine for people to be angry at Deshaun,
yes,
because obviously Deshaun is taking away something that they really want, which is Deshaun himself.
His services.
I get that, but there are two sides to this. Yeah. Like there is no, you can't not blame the people who created that environment.
That's right.
You just simply can't. You expect everybody to just to be, and yeah, he has a contract, but he's willing to accept the consequences of trying to redo that contract. And that's something, I mean, everything's spelled out. NFL teams every single year break contracts when they release people. It's just that there isn't a consequence for them to do it. It's all written into the CBA. Deshaun's doing the same thing NFL teams do. The consequences are just more severe for Deshaun. But that doesn't make it any morally different than what NFL teams do every year. Every time you hear some GM say, well, no, he signed a contract, he'll live by it. That guy's a fraud, and that guy is trying to manipulate you. It's a bogus argument by GMs, and they do it all the time.
Does Deshaun Watson have competition on the elite QB trade market? That's next.
And loyalty is everything, I'll never forget it.
Boy, Seth, I don't know. Maybe it's because I said I side with the guy who's better at his job, but there are more people coming out of the woodwork today that are not happy with my take on that I'm still siding with Deshaun for the mere reason that he's excellent at his job of being an NFL quarterback. Tweet from John says, come on, Sean. The person best at his job is not always correct. He signed a contract, live up to it. Why pick his side just because he's a top five quarterback? I hope the Texans sit him for 4 years and move on around him. Sure you do.
You don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Sure you do.
Can you imagine? Well, there. As long as he keeps showing up for those last six games every year, the contract will expire at some point. He'll get paid.
Yeah, in five years.
If you want to play this out, like to the end, like if both sides just flat out didn't budge, Deshaun would hold out every year. He'd get fined about $3.5 million for holding out a training camp. Then he wouldn't make any money for the first 10 weeks. He would show up for the last 6 to 7 weeks and make, how much is his salary over the last, is it like $40 million?
Yeah, next year his base salary is in the high 30s somewhere.
So let's say it's $40 million let's just say it's $40 million because that's easier math.
Yeah, comes in the halfway point, he makes $20 million. Just keep the math simple.
So he shows up for the last 6 weeks. Yeah. So 35% of $40 million every year, he would be making $14 million minus $3,500,000, $10 million a year. after that. And at some point they would ask for the signing bonus back, so
right.
You'd have to deduct $20 million from
yeah.
that. So he'd end up making about $30 million to just come in and play for 6 weeks every year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody would just be super stoked all around for that.
Here's, Seth, I'll make this point one more time, and then we'll get to Russell Wilson. One of the weapons the Texans have in their favor right now is the ineptitude that has led to this team being just such a dumpster fire roster right now. The Texans have nothing at stake in 2021. You know what I mean? Like, Deshaun's not torpedoing a championship window for this team. They're going to stink even if Deshaun's on the team, in my opinion. We went through the schedule yesterday. They're going to be favored. If they put lines out on all the games in 2021, because we know who the opponents are going to be. We just don't know what the dates are for the games. We know who all the opponents, except for the 17th game. We know who 16 of the 17 opponents are going to be. We went through the schedule yesterday. They're going to be favored in maybe three games next year. Doesn't mean they're going to win three games. There will be some upsets along the way, probably, especially if Deshaun is here. But my point is, they're not going to be a very good team. So what are the Texans sacrificing by getting into a staring contest with Deshaun Watson? Nothing. You could argue they're better served by sucking really badly next year and then getting the first pick in the 2022 draft. Because the alternative, even with Deshaun, is not 11-5 or 13-3. The alternative yeah. is 6-10.
That's where I told you last week or at the beginning of this week that whether or not the Texans franchise tagged Will Fuller would be the barometer for how much they actually want to keep Deshaun and whether Deshaun's going to be around in 2022. And as of right now, Aaron Wilson's reporting that it doesn't look like the Texans are going to franchise tag Will Fuller.
Right.
Maybe he'll go to free agency and the Texans will try to sign him back because it's hard to determine what Will Fuller's value is right now. If there were no Deshaun Watson situation, I would have a hard time really criticizing the Texans for handling Will Fuller this way. He's a different case because of his injury history. But given the current Deshaun Watson situation, I think they're not trying to keep Deshaun Watson. They aren't. I know they're saying they're not going to trade him, but I think you present a pretty realistic possibility, Sean, is they might just want to tank. And then, hey, the best time to trade Deshaun Watson is before the draft. Yeah, the draft next year,
right.
You get the same circumstance where you know who has the high picks. Other teams maybe have had time to really get ready for it and maybe position themselves to try to trade for Deshaun Watson. You might be able to pull it off before free agency begins just because teams will have planned for it in advance. And yeah, you can't execute it, but you can have the deal in place. So, just everybody buckle up. This could go a while. Whew. This could be a really, really long deal.
Oh, my God. And then he comes in halfway through the season. And then you could argue, Seth, that if he comes in halfway through the season, that actually both sides are better served by him just sitting there doing nothing. Because the last thing you want at that point, if you're 1-9 when he comes back in the building, is for Deshaun to come in and actually win a few games for you down the stretch and have you picking 8th in the draft instead of picking 1st in the draft. Oh, by the way, what if Deshaun Watson plays and gets hurt? I mean, what a horrible, horrible football situation, but what a fascinating case study for an NFL football team to have a year like that. Wow.
I mean, they went 4-12 with, let's think realistically, let's make some excuses for the Texans. They went 4-12 last year. They lost a lot of one-score games. Sometimes that's a coin flip situation. You can do a lot better, but you had Will Fuller for 11 of those games. When Will Fuller went out, things were not pretty for the remainder of the season. It was they just, no matter what you can say about the offense or the passing game or what have you, the Texans were not a good team without Will Fuller. If they lose Will Fuller, they lose J.J. Watt, they really don't have a bunch of cap space with which to work. They'll be able to sign maybe a couple of free agents, but they have no first or second round pick. Is there any avenue by which they're a competitive team next year?
No.
With Deshaun Watson, right?
I mean, yeah. Define competitive, because you as you illustrate, they were 4-12. They weren't a good team, and yet in the last five games without Will Fuller, three of them came down to the last possession of the game.
Yeah,
four of them did, and three of them were against divisional opponents who went on to the postseason.
Yeah,
you know, the two games against the Colts and then the final game against the Titans were all winnable games for the Texans. So competitive, I would submit they were competitive in those games. They just ended up losing all of them, you know. So can they be competitive? Sure. I mean, Deshaun Watson does give you a chance in most of the games that you're going to play. That was borne out last year. They were just 2-8 in a lot of those games where they had an opportunity to win.
Okay, I guess the other thing that you'd have to hope for is that somehow Lovie Smith makes a huge difference.
Yes.
And right now, this is where we are on Lovie Smith, because we haven't actually talked about a whole lot of the football team. Lovie Smith, the fear is that his defense is going to be antiquated if he doesn't modernize it. Like many Tampa 2 denizens have done, or like many descendants of the Tampa 2 coaching tree have figured out how to modernize that Tampa 2 defense. And you just hope Lovie Smith's been on the phone with him and that he changes a few things. He disguises more. He plays a little bit more man coverage than those guys used to back in the day. And then, yeah, maybe Lovie Smith being able to act just as a defensive coordinator, which he hasn't done in a long time. He's been a head coach. Is him just as a defensive coordinator, maybe that makes enough of a difference. And some of those one-score games would have been a field goal or a touchdown different.
Seth, the part
it's going to be awesome, Sean. Everything is awesome, Sean. Just quit worrying about it. Everything's going
to
be fine.
I'm peeping ahead to the part of the calendar where you and I are legitimately going to have to talk ourselves into some of this stuff. I don't know that there's enough alcohol in the liquor cabinet for me to talk myself into some of the things you and I are talking about right now, but I'm anxious to find out. What did you make of the Russell Wilson story in The Athletic that came down right at the end of our show yesterday? A very lengthy piece, very similar to the Deshaun Watson piece in The Athletic earlier this week. There was that piece where they talked about Jason Jenks, Mike Sando, and Aaron Reese talked about how Deshaun had lost his faith in the Texans. Similar piece by two of the same three authors. It was Jenks, it was Sando, and then it was the Seahawks beat writer. Last name is Dugar, I believe, who wrote a lengthy piece about Russell Wilson kind of getting sideways with the Seahawks, including things like he stormed out of the room during a pregame meeting with the coaches when they didn't take his input before a Thursday night game against Arizona. They talk about how Russell Wilson is finally catching some heat. People are talking and holding him accountable, so he's kind of up in arms about that. Basically, Seth, the bottom line is Russell Wilson would like to be a more focal point of the offense. And yet the Seahawks, other than the first eight games of last season when they, quote, let Russ cook, Pete Carroll's sticking to the formula that's, quite frankly, gotten them to the postseason way more seasons than not in Seattle, which is running game, defense, Russ don't make mistakes.
Well, except that they also were, I think there's this perception that last year they were letting Russ cook, and then all of a sudden, just because he had seven turnovers in two games, they departed from that strategy. Where they didn't really, they were still a pretty heavily passing, like an aggressive first half passing team after that. They were still like above average in how aggressive they were in the passing game. I tend to think that after having read this article, which I feel like they tried to be pretty even-handed, but I could kind of tell a couple of the stories were told to the writers by Russell Wilson's camp. Including the one where they said that he stormed out of the room after he approached the coaches the night before the Cardinals game with his input on what the offensive changes needed to be. And in the article, they say that the coaches were dismissive of it, which is kind of a loaded term, right? Like that's how the hell does a writer who wasn't there know that they were dismissive of it? Did they choose not to use it? Did they disregard it or what have you? Dismissive is a little bit of like insulting almost. I think that there's some disagreements and differences of opinion, but Russell Wilson played awful last year at times.
Yeah.
Yes, he's got offensive line issues, but there were some times, especially in those two games, where he was just a bad quarterback. And some of this is, he's got to take some accountability for this. I mean, this is a different, if he's going to look at Deshaun Watson's situation versus Russell Wilson's situation, the Seahawks just flat out have a much better roster than the Houston Texans do. And a lot of Russell Wilson's issues last year were of his own doing.
Yeah, that was my big takeaway, Seth. I'm glad you put it that way. And I think it's appropriate that we talk about this here, too, because I'm getting so much blowback on Twitter and on the text page that I'm still taking up for Deshaun Watson. A lot of people coming out of the woodwork saying he's being a baby. And I'm not totally in Deshaun's camp in terms of how he's handling things. I think he could handle it better. But if I'm asked to choose a side, I would still side with Deshaun Watson, who's excellent at his job and who's watched this organization systematically, seemingly dismantle itself over the last year. Russell Wilson, to me, comes across as way more of a crybaby than Deshaun Watson does. To your point, like you're belly aching about a team that wins double-digit games every year and gets to the postseason. Yeah, I get it. You haven't been to a Super Bowl since 2014. Oh, woe is you. Like, and I just came away from reading that. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean,
you're like the quintessential old lady who's got a Virginia ham tucked under one arm and complaining she doesn't have a loaf of bread to go with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey, there's, you know how
is
many,
that a quintessential lady?
That's a quintessential. Yes, a quintessential old lady with a Virginia ham tucked under her arm. That is quintessential.
I've never seen that old lady.
She's on The Sopranos. No, seriously, like, how many guys would trade spots in the NFL right. with Russell Wilson versus trading spots with Deshaun Watson right now?
Where I will stick up for Russell Wilson a little bit is that, for one, when he did his coordinated media attack after the season, where, look, he's a client of the
CAA.
CAA, huge agency. And, you know, at times in the past, he's gone on Colin Cowherd and Jimmy Fallon and been able to kind of get his message out because those guys are all CAA clients.
Right.
And this felt a whole lot almost like a coordinated CAA effort of maybe figuring out a way to give Russell Wilson more leverage or get him to a better media position or something. So that part of it was annoying because that was like classic Russell Wilson. But where I will defend him a little bit is that, A, he hasn't had great offensive coordinators. You know, Brian Schottenheimer and Daryl Bevel are not considered just the brilliant Uber kids or anything that are going to bring a quarterback to greatness. And they also haven't kept offensive linemen around, but they have spent on the roster at whole. This is where I don't think they've necessarily made that many errant decisions on who to pay the way the Texans have. So I think Russell Wilson's got some valid complaints. Oh, but the other place that I would stick him up for him is I had wondered, like, well, wait a second. Have you not voiced these concerns with the team itself before you went public? It looks like he did. It looks like he spent the whole season voicing his concerns.
Yep. Good points. All right, 713-572-4610. Marcus is downtown, wants in on the Deshaun conversation. Marcus, good morning. You're on Payne and Pendergast.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I blame a lot of this dysfunction on Deshaun. A lot of it. He's the one, after the Kansas City Chiefs game, confessed his dying love for Bill O'Brien. Remember, he said, I'll give Bill O'Brien my heart. He has a lot to do with this. Because, again, if he would have confessed his love the way he did, maybe Bill O'Brien's not here. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins is still here because Bill O'Brien isn't. You know, I heard you say, you know, that Deshaun Watson was an excellent quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback, but this year is the first year with the organization that he's passed Matt Schaub in touchdowns. He's never passed Matt Schaub in touchdowns at all. I think he's a good quarterback, but this year he moved up a level, but the years prior, I think he was good, but he wasn't excellent. You know,
Marcus, let me jump in because we're up against it. Yeah, well, I mean, look, if he had this season 2 years ago, and then all of a sudden he was regressing, then I would take that last point as a valid point. But it's the most recent season; like he appears to be ascending to me as far as the quality of quarterback that he is.
I would also say real quick, Marcus, like, okay, let's put Deshaun Watson in that Gary Kubiak offense with Arian Foster and Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels with Gary Kubiak calling the plays.
That O-line, like,
yeah, that's how much of that was Schaub personally as a quarterback, and you'd be hard pressed to find a single person in the NFL, and I'm not even exaggerating there, that's going to say that Deshaun Watson last year wasn't better than Matt Schaub in any year of his peak in terms of, like, overall quality and caliber of quarterback.
A lot of us were disappointed that Deshaun was so over the top in his praise for Bill O'Brien after that playoff loss, so I get where Marcus is coming from. I guess, what are you expecting? In retrospect, what would you have liked to see him do? Say, fire Bill O'Brien at the dais that day when he was standing up there and he gets asked about Bill O'Brien? Like, what were you expecting Deshaun to do? My guess is if he did that, there'd be just as many people going after him for dictating who the head coach of the team should be as there would be people who were disappointed that he didn't take a blowtorch to Bill O'Brien. I just, that's a little bit of revisionist history that I'm just not sure what you would have wanted Deshaun to do at the time that would have been reasonable for a quarterback to do, who was, quite honestly, just as culpable in that loss as Bill O'Brien was. The offense didn't generate a ton of points that day. They had a block punt for a touchdown. They had a short field for a touchdown. Deshaun was not good that day either. All right. Man, we're rolling on a Friday. A lot of stuff to get into here. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, we've been waiting for Deshaun to converse with the Texans. It appears that happened, and it's not good. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.